It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
Good afternoon. You will not believe who I found wandering out in the parking lot like a lost little stray dog. How you doing, Bobby McKillop?
I'm doing good, Stock. Thank you. Been a long time.
Yeah.
You change your hours on me. Now we're foobard. So it's just the way it goes.
sound a little raspy there.
I've had this for about a month. It's gone from a cold to a sickness. So I really don't know what it is, but
just keep it on that side of the room.
Yelling at little kitties on the ice probably doesn't help. But yeah, I've had this for a while.
Wow.
It's going to be good for radio.
Hey. Builds character.
Sure.
Gives you a good sound. Well, I know that you're a golfer who played hockey that wanted to play baseball.
Very true.
So let's start there. First off, I'll give everybody an update on what's going on. Cleveland and Toronto, your stinky Blue Jays.
My stinky Jays.
Are in the American League Championship Series.
Again.
It'll start on Friday night in Cleveland. And the Indians sweeping Boston. So I really don't like the Indians, but I don't mind that they swept Boston because I really don't like Boston.
Yeah, you're one of those guys.
And have a nice retirement, Big Poppy.
Yep.
I'm done with you. And yet, that'll be every time Boston plays for the next 2 years.
Oh, I know.
They'll find a way to mention his name.
And I'm sad to see Poppy go. I really am. I mean, what a great year he had for retirement.
The Tigers have parted ways with Wally Joyner. They should ask Poppy to come in and be their batting coach.
Whatever it is, the boy can hit. I mean, his last year he put up some great numbers, thinking about a guy who's going to retire in his 40s and obviously what he meant to the city of Boston and really how he conducted himself as a pro in his years in Boston. You know, they went through a lot with the Boston Strong and whatnot, and he was basically their guy. And you know, I'm going to be sad to see him go. As an athlete, I love watching him play. I know he was a designated hitter, and you know, but I loved how he, you know, I think it's the first time I've ever actually seen him leave the box when he hit that double and barely made it in to second base. But I mean, he's a competitor, so you know, am I glad to see him go? No. So it's a piece of, you know, and that's what happens in sports. Obviously, you see some iconic players, and he's definitely an icon for the game of baseball.
It's going to be interesting because you look at his offensive numbers and you go, well, that guy's going into the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. But then you have to consider the fact that even when he was a young player, even when he was breaking in with the Minnesota Twins, he was a DH.
His whole career,
he may have played 20 games or less as a first baseman,
and most of those games were because of interleague play.
Yeah, I mean, he was a DH. He did not play defense, and there are some guys who vote for these things.
Oh, I agree.
That are going to hold that against him.
Those press guys, those media types, you know.
To me, I look, you know, not did he play a position? Did he do this? What was his impact?
Huge.
On the game?
I agree.
And on his team?
I agree.
And his impact was, you know, they don't win championships without him.
And again, my opinion means nothing, but what, I mean, what's the Hall of Fame? What is the Hall of Fame really all about if David Ortiz can't be a part of that elusive club, right? I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and as a player and as a guy, when you take a look at guys around you, when David Ortiz is not in my lineup, how does that affect us? Well, it affected them tremendously on a day-to-day basis, and he was a guy that made the guy in front of him better and made the guy behind him better. How many guys got RBIs because he was getting free passes? And he was a DH, but boy, I'll tell you what. The game of baseball is about two things. It's about pitching and hitting. And can you score runs, and can you have pitchers that have ERAs under 3.5, 3.6, so you can get three or four runs and win every baseball game? And he provided run support. He provided RBIs. He's obviously hit for average. And, you know, an interesting stat I saw in the playoffs the other day, I think he was tied for second or leading the major leagues this year in two out, two strike hits. I mean, that keeps innings going. He was just one of those guys. So, you know, I hope the baseball writers and everybody's associated with it, give him a free pass. And obviously he's one of the guys in the steroid era, in the PED era and all that stuff that You know, wasn't involved in any of it. His name was brought up many times. They looked at him many times, and here's a guy that did it as clean as we can say today. So I hope he gets that shot.
Oh, absolutely. And clutch.
Clutch.
And not just regular season clutch, playoff clutch, as Tiger fans all. Well,
and not only that, but think about what he did and when they came back against the Yankees. Think about, you know, that 12 o'clock in the morning game and whatnot, how he got them to game 5, 6, and 7. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to miss him. I love his personality. I loved who he was as a player. And you know, a big part of baseball is gone.
But he's gone.
Bye-bye.
And it's Cleveland and Toronto, and that one will start on Friday.
Go Jays.
Best of 7. We'll see.
Jays.
It'll be Toronto slugging against Cleveland's pitching, or we'll see, because actually Toronto has pitched pretty well, too, down the stretch here. Aaron Sanchez is pretty good.
Oh, boy. And, I mean, you know, the thing about Toronto is they had a 5-game 7s just to get in, and then they do what they do, and their bats, I mean, when they have 10, 11 home runs in that 3-game series, obviously their bats are really wide awake, but boy, they got some, Estrada's pitched unbelievably, Sanchez has pitched unbelievably, their pen who they've had coming in relief has pitched very well, Hap's pitched well as a middle reliever, and then obviously, you know, Osuna's been shutting the door for them, but it's, you know, I don't want to call them a team of destiny yet, but they're, you know, what they went through last year, you know, the record after the All-Star break, and then obviously losing to the eventual World Series champions last year, Kansas City. Isn't it amazing how baseball works? Like Kansas City had a great lineup again this year and can't even have a sniff. And
well, you know, injuries killed
it's
them.
It's just, it's crazy what happens in baseball. But it's a huge, obviously, if you're watching this, let's forget about the dummy that decided he was going to play a part in the and throw one of his, I mean, he wasn't Canadian. There's no Canadian that's going to throw their beer away. So we know he wasn't Canadian, but some poor guy in Canada was doing that. But yeah, no, it's if you're watching those games, boy, what an atmosphere it is in that in the Rogers Center. So obviously being Canadian, I'm excited.
Yeah, and they got Devin Travis for Anthony Gose and Ezekiel Carrera for nothing.
Boy, his career hitting the ball.
And Gurley would probably look better than anybody else coming out of the Tiger bullpen. But
you know,
I'm not going to lament that.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, you take, and again, you know, everybody's talking about Brad Ausmus and they're bringing Brad Ausmus back. And Avila makes the statement that, listen, if we're going to keep going down this road and head in that direction, he's the best guy suited for that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can talk to people all you want, but at the end of the day, the players have to play. And we just haven't done it. We just haven't done it. And obviously, you know, our big guns are getting older. Our big guns are getting slower and tired. I mean, you know, you're two middle guys. We could be the slowest team on the base pass that there is. We can't play small ball. It's impossible for us to play small ball.
Yeah, I always laugh when people are like, well, they need to bunt. They need to do this.
How can they do it?
Yeah, how?
They're not going to be able to play small ball.
You're going to ask Miguel Cabrera or Victor Martinez, even Ian Kinsler, J.D. Martinez, Upton. You're going to ask those guys to bunt?
They're
Castellanos,
not.
You want them to bunt or you want them to stand up there and drill one into the bullpen?
They're not meant for that. You looked at Toronto the other night in a situation. They have guys on first and second with nobody out. All they need to do is get a run. They have Batista at the plate. Are you telling him to bunt? Every other situation in baseball, you're bunting him over. You have two chances. A fly ball or a ground ball to the right side of the infield. You win the game. You advance. And they still don't bunt. I mean, people just don't think about baseball.
We're going to have Kinsler steal. We're going to have Maben steal.
Oh, come on.
And then they're going to walk Cabrera every time.
Every time. You're taking the bat out of his hands.
Every time.
That's why people don't. That's funny you bring that up. People don't understand that. When in certain situations, for instance, Kinsler's on base, say it's seventh inning, Kinsler's on base, they're not stealing Kinsler. They do not want to leave that base open because you're taking the bat out of Cabrera's hands. They're still going to be in a double play situation, so we're going to walk him, whether it's one out, whether it's not out, they're going to do it every single time. I mean, that's just the way it is. So they can't play small ball, and until they figure out, and it's been 10 years of us talking about the bullpen with the Tigers, until they figure out their middle relief and their closers, their offense speaks for itself. They have good days, they have bad days, but their offense is definitely good enough to compete at any level in the major league level and with any team. But if you cannot close games from the fifth, sixth, I mean, if you need your starters to go 100 deep, 6.2 innings a game in order for you to have success, you're done. You're done. You're done. And they just don't have it. So, this isn't about Ausmus for me. This is about the player personnel that we have, and we just don't have it.
Last night, because I come in, you know, everybody hears my voice in the mornings. I'm not here in the mornings.
Well, you fooled me.
That's a recording.
When I was listening to you, I thought, boy, the Dennis is working around the clock.
No. I come in when all the games are done. I come in and I record that stuff for Paul and for Chuck. And last night I was waiting.
Oh, boy, were you waiting. Oh, were you waiting.
And waiting. And still waiting.
Yeah, get used to it.
Damn Cubs game to end.
Get used to it.
And at a certain point, I don't even care who wins. Just get it over with.
You're the only guy. Well, I'm sure there's a bunch of other sports guys like you. I guess all you guys who are praying, please no West Coast teams. Please. Please.
Or make sure that the West Coast ones are the afternoon games every day.
Please no West Coast teams. I never thought of that. Jeez, I thought you were working double shift.
No. I'm not that good.
You're a smart guy. You're a smart guy.
So, anyways, that one went on until about 2 o'clock in the morning or so.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, the Giants won last night, so game four tonight.
And I know you're not a Cubbies guy. You know, you're not about the history.
Well, I'm not about the, we have to root for the Cubs because, the poor Cubs.
Right.
I don't have to root for them because they stunk for 100
years. It is
years.
Exciting, though.
They're a good team.
It is exciting.
But not for that reason for me.
But
it's exciting because I like Joe Maddon. It's exciting because they're a good baseball team.
But
not because in previous years they stunk and they couldn't win anything. There's lots of teams like that.
But when you talk about
who cries for the Lions?
No, well,
nationally, do people embrace the Lions and go,
they cry for
love
them.
And snuggle up with the Lions?
No, they
wouldn't it be great if they finally won something?
They feel horrible.
Nobody says that.
They feel horrible.
They make jokes
for them.
About us.
They do. They feel horrible for us.
So I say the hell with the Cubs.
And and the funny thing is, people talk about how good the Cubbies are, and they are good. I mean, 101 wins, 102 wins. I mean, let's talk. It gets 110, 111, 112. I mean, okay. Are they good? Sure. Is this a team of destiny as well? If the Jays and the Cubs made it to the World Series, I'd be a real happy guy because either way, I'd walk out of there going, great. You know, I've been to Wrigley Field. The atmospheres there are incredible, and Chicago's such a big sports town. Obviously, they're one of the few cities that have the double major league teams along with New York and LA, I guess LA and Anaheim, you can call that the same, but just the aura that's going on in Chicago is great. It's a great time, and it's a shame that, you know, 3 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, I mean, we were looking at our Tigers, and I went to one of the final games of the year against Kansas City when they lit up the starter for 4 runs in the first top of the first inning.
Oh,
I was just walking into the stadium, and he didn't get an out. I mean, we should be talking about these guys having. I mean, they should at least made the wild card game. Now my Jays would have beat us, but at least we would have had a day to talk about the playoffs. But no, it's a great time. This is a great time in sports right now. You got, you know, college football is underway. High school football is getting closing it down here, and the National Hockey League is about to start, and you got the baseball playoffs. So and let's not forget about the NBA. I mean,
it's starting up. Hey, the Pistons are our best chance at the playoffs this year. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, I agree there. We don't even want to go there. But, I know you and I are going to take major heat again for this. But.
Yeah, but that's all right. It's expected, and we'll talk about that coming up here in just a few minutes. But Washington beat the Dodgers 8-3. It wouldn't break my heart to see the Dodgers get knocked out again. Even though I know Washington's not going to win the National League, let them at least win a series.
I agree.
Because, you know, if we're going to have sympathy for that Chicago team, let's have sympathy for some of the other teams that have never won anything.
No, I agree. I like Washington, too.
So anyways, and all I'm saying, Tigers, is 220 game winners. And I went through it. There were 21 former Tigers that made the playoffs this year.
Yes, I did. I saw that stat on ESPN. They actually talked about that stat. That's a big stat.
That's a lot of guys.
Think about that.
Not all of them were good. Not all of them contributed, you know, but
they were part of something.
They were all part of something that the Tigers didn't think they were good enough to do. But yet we'll keep certain guys forever and ever and ever.
Oh, boy. Well, we've done that. One more time. Who was that?
Andrew Romine.
Oh, boy. We've done that forever, though. That's who we are.
That's what we do.
I mean, we held on to Brandon Inge forever. I mean, he was Mr. Tiger.
He was. Still is to some people. All right, got to catch a break. We'll be right back, and then we'll talk the Wings.
You're listening to the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, we told you early in the week. In fact, Tyler's grandma called the show, but Tyler made the Blackhawks opening night roster, and they're going to get everybody into Chicago. The Hawks are going to fly the whole family in for the game. So go get them, Tyler.
That's unbelievable. And the Hawks kept six rookies. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, crazy.
As I said yesterday to anybody who was listening to me, Chicago Blackhawks, start them young and get results.
Yep.
And then I went through the list of all the guys that started when they were 21 or younger.
And they're not afraid to part ways.
And who all contributed.
They're not afraid to part ways. They part ways with good hockey players all the time.
Yeah.
To make room for these young guys to develop.
The news for Jack Campbell back on October 5th, he did get sent to Ontario in the American Hockey League. So he's not Canada, that's Ontario, California.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. He's going to love it there, the Ontario rain.
Which is like, it looks like it's not even I don't know with LA freeways, but it's about a half-hour drive into where the Kings play.
So that's about 4,500 hours.
I did not know that along with Jack, the Kings also have Tom McCollum, former Red Wing.
Yes, they do.
He also was sent to Ontario.
Well, that'll be a challenge for him. It'll be a challenge for him.
Yeah. Well, I hope he gets a shot. I know with Jonathan Quick there, nobody behind Jonathan Quick is going to play a lot. But I hope at some point he gets to get up to the big club and get some action.
This is the way it works for goaltenders who are in Jack's position. Jack obviously has to go down. He's going to be fighting with a couple guys down in the American Hockey League in Ontario with the Ontario Reign, a really good place to play hockey. Used to be an East Coast Hockey League team, but obviously when they realigned everybody, all those teams became American Hockey League teams, so they're more centrally located for every major league team, the NHL team. So rather than having, I think the only one that's really crazy right now is Vancouver and Syracuse. I mean, I still think that's it. But anyway, what has to happen for Jack is, and it's, I hope this doesn't happen, he's going to have to play well where he's at, and then Jonathan Quick has to go down. That's it. He's not going to get to be able to prove himself as a backup playing 10 games, 7 games, 6 games. He's starting down there. So injuries have to happen. And then it's all up to him because then he will get his opportunity to play so many guys fall into this trap of, well, I'm down in the minors. For forwards, yes, maybe. For defensemen, never. For goaltenders, never, ever. Because it's just about can you get your opportunity to play. How many times have we seen it where goaltenders come up, they play well for 3 or 4 games. Next thing you know, they're the guy. I mean, think about coaches in the National Hockey League, especially general managers, not necessarily coaches. GMs are really, really quick to go, bang, this guy's just not playing well. You can have 10 games lights out. You can stink for 4 games. You're in trouble. So it's not over for him. Goaltenders are a different thing here. And he would have left a lasting impression on the brass in LA. And obviously they made a trade for him, so they wanted him. So, I mean, let's just see what happens here. Go down Jack, work your little tail off, put up some half-decent numbers, and let's see what happens.
Former Prowler Jonah Imo was also in camp with the Kings, but I found out something interesting that I didn't realize. His dad, Dusty, is the Kings goalie coach.
I can't see how that would have any effect on him being there or why
absolutely
he would be there. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Good experience for him.
And he got sent where?
Probably to the East Coast Hockey League.
Okay.
So, at any rate, I'm just looking at Grand Rapids is going to have an awfully good team killer. The latest to be sent down was Anthony Mantha. He joins Brian Lashoff, Nick Jensen, Eric Tangrotti, Mitch Callahan, Jared Coro, Nathan
Poor
Page,
Mitchie Callahan.
Louis-Marc Aubry, Robbie Russo, Joe Hicketts, Evgeny Svechnikov, who I really like, Matt Lorito, Tyler Bertuzzi, who I really like. When they come off IR, that's where Thomas Nosek and Ville Saarijärvi will end up. And also Dylan Sadowy is down there and a couple of other guys as well. So they're going to have a real good team in Grand Rapids. And eventually, I'm sure Andreas Athanasiou will join them since he's going to make the roster, but they're not going to play him.
No. Well,
they're not going to play. I could tell you the 12 opening night forwards.
Well, I can too.
And unless somebody gets hurt, those will be the 12 forwards for just about every game.
I agree. I agree. I mean, the Wings are who the Wings are. I hate to say this. I really do. You could flip-flop both those teams, Grand Rapids and Detroit, and I'd like to see where the Griffins would end up, right? I mean, you have to understand, and I'm sorry, I love the Wings. I'm tied, connected to them. I love them. I want them to be successful. The National Hockey League is now built from your goaltender out. You need speed on defense. You need aggressiveness. You need agility. You need puck movement. You need guys that can play a 200-foot game from the back end now. We don't have it, yet alone the defensive part of the game. We just don't have it. Now you're asking Tatar to put up. I mean, the guy had a half-decent World Cup in an exhibition series. I mean, are we really thinking, you know, he's got him playing with two big boys right now in Nielsen and got him starting with Zetterberg. You know, how many goals is Helm going to have? How many goals is
We already had this debate. Polkinen got claimed by Minnesota today just before noon, and I asked you, who will score more goals this year, Polkinen or Helm? And your response was, well, if they both play the same number of games and get the same opportunity, Polkinen's going to score more goals.
Only for one reason, because Polkinen's going to be put in a position to put the puck in that. He'll be on the power play and whatnot. But again, you know, this game is predicated from your goaltender out. And when you play from your goaltender out, let's understand who's in our division. I mean, first of all, before everybody gets all uptight here, understand you have Tampa Bay, Florida, Montreal, Boston are all guaranteed going to be ahead of the Wings.
I think so too.
Right?
Yeah.
Have to. I'm not even talking about Buffalo, Toronto, or Ottawa. We'll consider those guys down.
They're still rebuilding.
Okay, but that's who we're battling
with. Although I'll tell you what, Buffalo is probably going to get good 2 years sooner than later. Yeah.
2 years. Okay. So you take a look at that. So Tampa Bay, who's you and I can both agree is going to be the top, right?
Yeah, I think they're the best team in our division, maybe in the conference. Okay. I mean, it's between them and who?
Washington
or Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Philly you might throw in there. Okay, so now you're looking at that. Florida, I don't know where Florida's going to be. I really don't. I'm not sold on them yet. I love what they're doing down there. I think Jaron Gallant's doing a great job down there. Is Jaromir Jagr going to be able to stay, 30-something when he's 45, 46 years old? I don't know. Montreal, you know, are going to creep up as long as Price stays healthy. I mean, they started the season 11-0 last year, and then obviously we saw what happened to them.
Carey Price, and I'm being serious here.
Dead serious.
Carey Price is worth 10 wins.
Mm.
That's 20
Maybe
more points
Maybe
that
more.
Montreal will get than they got last year.
Maybe more. Maybe more. It could be more. I don't even know what that is. He's the proven guy. And then you got the what I like to call the lightning rod team, Boston. If Boston goes, Boston's great. If Boston doesn't, Boston doesn't. But, you know, for us to have success here in Detroit, our goaltending needs to be top three in the division. Okay, well, Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Montreal. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, so
Tampa really has two number one goalies.
Oh boy, I mean, they can do whatever they want, right? And they're one of those guys eventually get moved. But you know, we need to score goals. We need to score goals. We're going to be scored on our defense. We're going to get scored on.
And when we look at it, everything is always with an if. If Nyquist has a better season,
30 plus.
If Tatar has a better
plus.
Season, if Vanek scores 30 goals.
Plus.
For us.
30 plus.
If Zetterberg is healthy
not gonna and score
has
20.
One more, you know, good season.
He's not going to score 20.
And that's the thing with it. I'd be more positive if it wasn't if it's these guys are going to. And we don't know that.
So by you saying that, you and I are now, we haven't even talked about it. So who are the guys that they're leaning on heavily to take this torch and run with it? A second-year player.
It's got to be, Larkin.
Okay.
And again, you don't know what's going to happen in the second year. We just assume he's going to pick up where he left off and continue to get better. We hope that.
Moving him to the middle is going to be an issue.
But you don't know. There are a lot of guys that in their second year struggle because they're not surprising.
We had two of them last year.
They're not surprising anybody.
We had two of them last year.
Teams are waiting for them. But Dylan Larkin is a different kind of talent.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry much about that. I think he'll be okay.
I think he'll have a great year.
I think he's the one guy that we can depend on to have a great year.
You got a kid that scored 60-plus goals in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, lit it up in World Junior Tournament, and you're not keeping him because you don't think he can play well enough without the puck?
Love Nilsson.
Love him.
But he's not a 30-goal scorer.
We'll find out because where he was the last couple of years with the talent that he had around him, remember who he was playing with and who he is on the ice with on the power play and whatnot, understand, Tavares, these guys are hockey players. These guys are purebred hockey players. Let's see what he does. I mean, and then you got, you know, and I like Vanek. I really do. I think Vanek's a pure goal scorer. However, your track record speaks for yourself. Yeah.
Who's he going to be playing with? Is it Riley Sheahan trying to get him the puck? Is it Darren Helm trying to get him the puck? Because they did that to Polkinen, and now Polkinen's in Minnesota.
Polkinen is such a different hockey player. He doesn't skate very well.
I don't know what kind of a player Polkinen is. He's
a one-dimensional guy. He's got a cannon
for a shot.
That's
fine.
He's got
an absolute bullet.
He's got a bullet for a shot. I remember
What'd you do for 10 years?
Well, dude,
scored goals.
I knew where the puck.
That
I knew
was
where the net
job.
Was. I knew where the net was.
But coaches gave you the opportunity. Well, they gave you Savo Mitrovic. They gave you Paul Pelillo. They gave me guys
who were going to give me the puck. They gave me guys who were going to give me the puck for sure. Absolutely.
Polkinen never got that chance in Detroit.
I've said this.
He may be the worst hockey player ever to play, but we'll never know because he never got the opportunity to show us one way or the other.
Listen, there's no secret. I'm 46 years old. I have two bad knees getting a hip replacement, and I can score 25 with Sidney Crosby today. I mean, that's just the way it is, right?
I
mean,
I could get one or two.
Right? You're a pure goal scorer. That's what you do, but you have to be. I used to say this all the time. People would talk to me about, you know, how come you never got to play at the next level? I'm like, dude, I couldn't skate. Understand, I had success because of the people around me. I was an absolute pure goal scorer. I had to knock to put the puck in the net. I knew where the net was. You gave me the puck in a scoring situation, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to put the puck in the net. But that all came from me having. The coaches have a ton of faith in me as a goal scorer and putting me with the best playmaker and the best grinder that's going to put me in the position to be successful. And this game isn't – the best players in the world are not playing in the National Hockey League. You and I talk about this all the time. The best role players are. Everybody has a role. My role is to score goals. If I'm on a team playing on a third line or I'm on a team playing on a not on the power play or in a checking role, I may as well not be playing hockey. I'm not that guy. Okay, Darren Helm is that guy. Glendening is that guy. Miller is that guy. Okay, but now we're asking one of these other guys, a Sheahan, we're asking him to produce, put numbers up on the board.
And he's more of a, to me, he's more of a Glendening type.
Right. Okay, so, you know, you bring in a guy like Polkinen. The only way Polkinen could play in the National Hockey League is on a number one or two line. The only way Polkinen could play in the National League is on every power play. He needs to see the ice. Every time there's a power play, he needs to see the ice. Did he get that opportunity? No, he didn't. Are we going to find out what kind of player he is if Minnesota gives him that chance? Like I said to you, if they play the same amount of games, there's no question he's going to get more goals than a Helm. I'll name eight guys he's going to get more goals than, right? I mean, because that's just who he is. He's a pure goal scorer. People don't understand this. When he got called up last year, he was leading the American Hockey League by a lot. Okay, American Hockey League is a step slower than the National Hockey League. A step. It's not talent. There's the same talent there. It's how quick the game is. So understand, you put him in that environment where that he can pick up that pace, being with a good hockey player, being with a Datsyuk, being with a Zetterberg, being on every power play. Now you're going to find out who this kid is. And you got to remember, I went down and watched those guys practice all the time. The kid can absolutely flat out score. He has an absolute bomb for a shot. Doesn't skate real well. Brett Hull could have been one of the worst skaters in the National Hockey League. Yeah. Horrible.
Phil Esposito made a living, and Phil Esposito couldn't skate, and he couldn't shoot.
He was awful.
And yet, he's one of the greatest goal scorers to ever play the game.
Because he's one of the smartest hockey players ever to play. Right? I mean, how long did it take? I mean, Gretzky broke his record in, what, 80, what? I mean, he had the record for goals scored at 70-something for how long?
Oh, he had 76 goals, and that, I mean, it stood for close to a decade.
Right. I mean, so it took 10 years, 10-plus years before Gretzky beat him in Buffalo in whatever year that was, the year that he went on to score, I think, 92. But, you know, when you take a look at who we are as an organization, you take a look at who we are as a franchise. I'll be here in a minute. Hang on. sorry. No, when you take a look at who we are as a franchise, you have to understand this is what we've been doing. This is what Kenny's been doing. We've been doing this for a while now, and you know, we lose Datsyuk. Is his production down? Absolutely. You lose him in the locker room. He's a huge presence to lose. He just him on the ice. He's the magic man. Huge presence to lose. Okay. After that, what? Quincy? Right. We didn't lose anything. Right. Yeah. I mean, what did we end up losing? What did we gain? Vanek.
Nielsen.
I mean, Ott, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Non-factor people. I know they had a big couple of preseason games against the Providence
Bruins. I was listening to Kenny on TV talking about how great of a, you know, they couldn't have done it any better. And I get that. We're building a new facility. This should be the place that everybody wants to come once again. It used to be this way 7-8 years ago when Yzerman and Fedorov and Lidstrom and all, because they had a chance to win a championship. People don't consider Detroit, the cup goes through Detroit anymore. They just don't.
And you know what? And maybe Steve Ott will be terrific for the Red Wings, but Tyler Bertuzzi can do what Steve Ott does, and he's 10 years younger.
I can't believe he's not getting a shot. That kid, do you see how good
he
played?
Love that kid.
See how good he played?
That kid. And he's got
offensive
upside.
He'll be here.
But he's got more offensive upside.
He'll be here. He's a hockey player. He wants to play hockey. He'll be here.
Anyways, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show with Bobby McKillop today here on WPHM. All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. A couple of minutes here before the top of the hour, and Killer's going through his little book here and noticing what teams lost and what they added.
It's crazy. You know, like, let's just use Montreal, a team that we're going to be battling for. Their losses: PK Subban, Tom Gilbert. Their additions: Shea Weber, Andrew Shaw, goaltender Al Montoya, and Alex Rudloff. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Boston picks up Backes.
I wanted Backes. I really
Buffalo
did.
Picks up a Postal.
Yeah, he'll help them. I mean, they've already got Eichel and a couple other young players that I like.
Tampa Bay loses Matt Carl, picks up nobody because they're set. I don't know. You and I talked about it. I mean, who are we? I mean, who's our top? Name the Wings' top four defensemen
and why they are. What's our number one pair? You can't include Cronwall. He's not going to start the season.
Well, let's include him.
All right. Okay. So Cronwall would be one of them. But to me, at this stage of his career, he would be a fourth or fifth guy on most other teams in the league, the good teams, the teams that are serious contending teams that are going to make the playoffs,
absolutely,
have a chance to win series and maybe get to the Stanley Cup. He's a fourth at best and more likely in your fifth, sixth pairing.
I agree.
But he's our guy in Detroit, really, at this stage of things.
I think
DeKuyser is probably our best defenseman.
That's who they're building around.
But what is he?
Yeah, that's who they're building around.
He's a fourth guy on most teams. You said it yourself. You sent him out to San Jose. Well, Burns and Vlasic are your 1-2. So at best, he's a 3.
At best. No, let's go to California. I mean, go to any
team. Go to
the
Kings. Go to Anaheim. Doughty and Martinez.
Come on. Anywhere, right? I mean, people, it's so easy for people, and I get it. You know, I'm a huge fan too, but it's so easy for people not to really take a step back and realize, you know, where we're at in the food chain. Where are we really at? We talk about the bullpen for the Tigers. Well, I mean, our weakness is going to be on the backside. And then, you know, Mrazek's going to have to stand really tall. And this game is different. This game, listen, Drew Doughty is one of the best defensive players in the game. But he's also one of the best offensive players in the game.
Letang.
Unbelievable both ways. Burnsy, unbelievable. Vlasic, unbelievable both ways. The days of having, you know, Zdeno Chara and the Hatcher brothers and Jeff Chychrun's and all these longtime Brad Marshes and all these defensemen there, stay at home. You know, Blum it out. John Blum, you know. Jeff Blum was an unbelievable minor pro hockey player. He never made a mistake in his own end, never got beat one-on-one, wasn't a big guy, but he could always make the first passes right, and he always got the puck out. Okay, those guys don't exist in the National Hockey League anymore. They don't exist because you cannot play physical in your own end with guys anymore. You can't stick your stick. I couldn't get to the net. It was impossible for me to get to the net. Guys were slashing, cross-checking, hooking, holding, and referees were like, let him go. Hey, let him go. Hey, watch your stick there. Okay, you can. I mean, I can still hear Harrison, and I never complained ever. I would have.
That's the way it was played.
Right,
you expected it.
I never complained. I'd have small conversations as we're going to faceoffs, as Harrison was chirping at me or chirping at the guy that was giving it to me in the front end. Hey, easy on him, and I'd be thinking, easy on him. Are you kidding me? My kidneys are bleeding right now, but I'd have small conversations like, dude, how many does he get? Three. or four. He goes, I'll give him the first three. The fourth one's yours. I'm like, fourth one's mine. So then you just knew as a player, as soon as I felt three, I could turn around and do whatever I wanted. And that's when you as a player could get your space. And that's how the game was played. You can't touch guys now. So are we fleet of foot back there? Negative. Are we fleet of foot back there with the puck? Negative. Okay, so we don't even need to have another discussion. Because if we're not fleet of foot with it or without it, boy, are we in trouble. And unfortunately, we're going to be in trouble. I hate to say it, but I mean, you know, I love Smith. Great guy, great in the room, funny, whatever. He has to have an unbelievable year for us to have major success. Forget about Cronwall. Forget about the Kaiser. Let's talk about, let's say those are the guys. Smith has to play unbelievable. Erickson has to play unbelievable.
Which he won't.
Okay, now you're looking at Marchenko, Sproul, Xavier Ouellette. Marchenko played a lot. Sproul hasn't played at all. X has played a little bit. Okay, those guys have to have unbelievable years. Can they do it? This Sproul's a hockey player. Right-handed shot, love him. We're not even talking about poor Greeny. Right? I mean...
No, well... Again, I'll live with his bad defense, but he's got to get me 50 points.
And I'm breaking in his gloves.
He's got to get me 50 points, or it's useless. All right, we got to take a break here. Hour number two with Bobby McKillop coming up in just a moment, so stick around for that.
It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. Bobby McKillop is here today. And Killer DJ called the other day. He loves Jared Coro. And he says, trade everybody so Jared Coro can be the man. Simply because he says the NHL's going to big goalies now. And Coro's a big kid. Bishop's a big guy. Lundqvist is a big guy. Everybody's got a big guy. And you know, I know he likes Peter Mrazek. I know he's on Jimmy Howard.
Love him.
But Mrazek is a small guy compared to a lot of the other guys out there.
What is he, 6'1"? Mrazek 6'1".
Coro played well in the preseason, and on skates, he looks like he's 7 feet tall.
I get it. That's fine. Nope.
You don't like him?
Mrazek's your guy. I love him, but Mrazek's your guy. I think they can't. You and I were just having this conversation off the cuff here while we were in commercial. And if it were me, and again, it's not, but I'd be grouping a bunch of these guys together right now and getting some guys back. I just would be. And one of my goaltenders would be one of them. And I'd package in one of the young guys, Nyquist or Tatar and Cronwall and Erickson. And I'd start packaging guys. And you don't like Anthony Mantha, trade him. He's got unbelievable trade value right now. You don't think you can play in the National Hockey League because you can't play without the puck. And I understand it. I get it. Best players in the world are not playing the National Hockey League. The best players without the puck are. He does struggle on his own end. So does Double A, but Double A has such a much better upside for what the Wings are looking for.
Oh, he's speed just so electrifying.
Yeah, you know, speed.
At any minute, he can turn that puck around.
Yes,
and it's a scoring chance
for
you.
So that's why the Wings are going in that direction. But you know, for you guys that don't know anything about Anthony Mantha, he's been a pure goal scorer since he's been 5 years old. The guy does nothing but put the puck in the net. He is a Brett Hull. He is he's not a Gretzky, but he's a high scoring guy. He's a guy that's going to, you know, score you 35 to 55 goals. I mean, he's that guy. So, you know, but if you're not happy with him, then let's package him and let's make sure that when we go into the new rink that we have some nice high-profile guys and away we go.
Here's an example. Saturday night against the Leafs, Anthony Mantha nowhere to be found. Didn't hear his name all night long.
Showed up in the score sheet.
But with 10 minutes to go in that hockey game or whatever it was, might have even been less, he scored a goal. And was it even a good scoring chance? No. But that's what goal scorers do.
Oh, I lived it.
They make a goal.
I lived it.
On a so-so scoring chance. They make it happen. That's what they do. And all he needed was one partial chance, and bang, the Red Wings got a 4-3 win. Who else is going to do that for them?
No, not... we don't. Here's the thing about goal scoring, and I try and explain this to my kids all the time, and you can't teach it, right? But understand this is how goal scoring works. Obviously, when you get the puck in a position to score, if you're a goal scorer, you're going to find a way to score by your ability to shoot the puck and your knowledge of where the goal is, and just it's a feel thing. Okay, the whole key for me was one simple thing: you knew where that puck was going to end up. You either have that ability or you don't. Blummer would get the puck back in the point. I knew it was going to hit the net. As soon as Blummer got it, I knew it was going to hit the net. And I'm going to go 8 to 10 feet off to the outside of the goaltender and wait for that puck to come to me because it's coming to me. It's not going straight out. It's not going whatever. Blummer's going to have to shoot his little And yes, Blummer already knows I tease him about this. It's going to have main Czechoslovakia easily read as it goes by. Yeah, you know, four guys can catch it if they wanted to, but they're trying to block guys out. The goaltender's going to hit him in the pillows. It's not going to be high. You know, you can go right to the front of that. But it's in this area. Paul Pelillo had the puck going behind the net. I knew there was no chance in heck he wasn't doing anything but trying to isolate the one guy as he goes behind the net, and he's going to throw it cross seam. You just know that's going to happen. You don't have to yell for it. You don't have to do anything. It's knowing where to be on the ice and knowing where that puck's going to end up. Anthony Mantha's that guy. He's just that guy. Ovechkin's that guy. No, Ovechkin's going to score you 20 goals on pure Alexander Ovechkin stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wasn't that guy. I scored, you know, between 30 and 45 to 46 goals a year based on knowing where the puck was going to be and scoring. Now, granted, I score some 2-on-1 goals and I get some half-decent breakaway. But sure, I'm not beating three guys like Ovechkin and all these guys did. And I put up, you know, scored a lot of goals because of knowing where that puck was going to end up. Mantha's that guy. He doesn't need to skate. Polkinen's that guy. He doesn't need to skate. He's that guy. Give him the puck in an 8-foot circle. He's going to, if you give him 2 feet, you give him 1.5 feet, it's in the net. Chances are it's in the net. Whereas, how many guys did we see back in the day when we were running the minors together? How many great hockey players did we see who could shoot the puck, who could skate with the puck, who could, I mean, Garen Smith, great skater, all these guys, great skaters, Donnie Larkin, great. I mean, there's so many great guys that were great skaters, but they couldn't put the puck in the ocean. They didn't know where it was going. They got it in a scoring position, and, I mean, they warmed him up every time he shot it. He hit him in the crest. Oh. The crest was getting a warm-up.
Do you remember Dale Greenwood?
Oh boy, what a hockey player! He could have been unbelievable.
And you go look at
Silky
his
smooth.
You go look at his numbers and go, how does a kid
Silky smooth.
Who could play like he could play
skate, handle
not
a puck,
succeed, and not put up numbers?
Unbelievable!
Crazy!
Unbelievable! He was one of the purest skaters I ever played with. Unbelievable with the puck, great shot, quick release.
Never did anything with it.
No, it's unbelievable. We used to say this all the time. You know, guys would come down from wherever. You know, we get guys sent to us all the time. Guys would come down, or guys would come in training camp from here, from there, whatever. And you watch this. And remember, I was never the stats guy. I never liked looking at stats pages. I was an eye test guy. I'd see this guy in practice and be like, ooh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. And, of course, one of the guys who's the stats guy would look at me and go, Kilrea's never scored more than 10 goals. No way. There is no way. No, wait, no, seriously, Kilrea's played like 3 years in this league, and he's never scored more than 10. There's no way. And then I see a guy by the name of Phil Berger. Played with Phil Berger for a couple of years. Uh-huh. Phil Berger was an East Coast Hockey League superstar. And I do the eye test with him the first time and go, this guy can't play hockey. Like Kilrea's, he's got like 712 goals in the East Coast Hockey League. I'm like, what? What?
You want to talk about a guy who couldn't play hockey and finished with 1 million goals.
Oh, my God.
Look at Jimmy Duhart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly. Hey,
the
I mean,
guy
exactly.
looked like a garden gnome out on the ice.
Yeah, garden gnome.
But all he did was score goals.
Big goals, too. Game after game after game. But, again, you know, we can talk about our poor wings all day long. You know, but it's this is going to be a trying year. And I'm hoping for the best. Obviously, I want them to go far. You know, when you have access, you want to be down there. I'd love to be down there for the playoffs. It's a lot of fun down there, but you know, we're gonna have work cut out for us.
Yeah, I'm not saying they can't make the playoffs.
Well, they can.
Of course they can.
Well, they can.
I'm just saying that of all the years in the last 26 years, this is the toughest it's going to be for the Red Wings since the 80s. To get into the playoffs.
Okay, so here's the ultimate question.
And actually, it was easy in the 80s because they went by division, and you only had to beat out one team to make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, you got to remember, we're in the Norris division, and
if we beat out the Leafs or the Hawks.
Well, don't knock my Leafs.
The Leafs were bad, like the Wings.
Yeah.
The
well, okay, but let's
and
come
the
on.
The Hawks were bad.
We haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967.
It was guaranteed pretty much every year that one of those three teams was going to finish last.
I have been
and
alive.
St. Louis and Minnesota were going to battle for the top spots.
I have been alive since 1970, 46 years. We have not been in the Stanley Cup, my Toronto Maple Leafs, since we have not won the Stanley Cup since 1967. The closest I've ever seen, we lost in Game 7 to L.A. Kings, and Gretzky scores 3 goals against us in Toronto at Maple Leaf Gardens in 1993, and then they went on to lose in the Stanley Cup final in Montreal because it was going to be a Montreal-Toronto final. That's what we thought. But I haven't seen them even remotely close, and it breaks my heart because I'm a diehard Toronto boy. Diehard Toronto. Diehard Toronto boy. So it just breaks my heart. But yeah, don't knock my poor baby Leafs. Look out.
Knocking them.
They might. Do you know what?
They'll be all right. They'll be all right in 5 years.
You know what? They might beat the Wings in the points this year, and they're predicted to be in the bottom of the barrel. And they might actually. Here's okay.
Well, I like this about the Leafs is primarily they're going young.
They have to.
You know.
They made that commitment, which is what we should be doing.
But they still have issues in goal.
Oh, they have lots of issues.
And you know, but I mean, they moved out a lot of the. Now is Kessel a good hockey player? Kessel's
absolutely
a really good hockey player.
Absolutely. Wasn't
but,
him and
but
Mike
were they going to win with him?
Him and Babs would not have got along. Him and Mike would not have.
And they weren't going to win with him.
Right.
So they did what they had to do.
Here's a simple question. You and I can laugh about this. Here's a simple question for everybody out there that's thinking you and I are crazy. And you and I get called crazy about this stuff all the time. Here's a simple question. You have two choices. Here's your two choices. You can go to Vegas right now with your $10,000 that you're going to take out of your own bank account or whatever you have. You're going to borrow it, whatever. And you're going to put it down on, are they going to make the playoffs or not? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I'm going to put it down that they're not.
What's the safest bet?
And to me, that's the safest
bet. Okay.
Or I could cop out and put five both ways.
See, there's always, Dennis always finds a happy ground. There's always a happy medium. There's always that middle ground for Dennis. Of course you're going to do that.
I know some guys that would do that, too.
Of course you're going to do that. Of course you're going to. So you're just going to lose the juice. So you're going to lose, you know, $500.
I'm just going to walk out with what I came in
with. Yeah, well, you're going to lose $500 with the juice. You know, Vegas has got to make money. But, no, I mean, if people actually had to put some worth into this rather than with their heart, and trust me, my heart wants the Wings to make the playoffs, and my heart wants the Wings to win the Stanley Cup. But if you really had to make a decision, boy, I mean, now we're going to have a different discussion. We're going to have a real discussion. And when you take a look at who they are, that's just, you know, we're beating a dead horse now. But yeah, they're let's just see what happens. I'm hoping.
There's just a lot of ifs.
I'm hoping.
It's always if this and if that. And
I think my personal opinion is I think Pittsburgh has a really good chance to repeat. I do. I think Pittsburgh's built for it. Really do. I think they got speed up front. A lot of goal scoring. They got great goaltending. They got two guys who can play in the net now. Their defense is great, and they're hungry. I think they got a chance to repeat. Are they going to get past the Tampa or Montreal? Washington? Is it Washington's time? Ovi can't seem to win. Is it San Jose's time finally? Is LA going to be a little bit hungry? Is Chicago going to be as good as?
I think Chicago will be hungry after going out to St. Louis last year, and since they're going to have the Rookie of the Year this year.
Oh boy. He did look good, though, didn't he?
Doesn't he? He looks like...
Say it.
It's a natural. He's a natural.
He's a hockey player.
Yeah.
Looks like a hockey player.
I mean, okay. I know Silver Stick, you know, they're 12, 13, 14 years old, whatever. Watched him in that. Dominated. Dominated.
I'll tell you when it was for me. You know when it was for me? Was the very first year the Fighting Falcons came to town.
I was going to mention that. 14 years old. And he was head and shoulders out there on the ice with some kids were 20.
Yep. That's when it was for me.
But most of them were 16 to 19 years old.
That's when it was.
Head and shoulders. He was the best player on the ice.
Not even close. Not even close.
Some of those guys were 5-6 years older than him.
Yep.
And he was head and shoulders the best player on the ice. And the smartest decision he and his family ever made was saying they didn't want to play for the Falcons.
Well, I mean, obviously, right? I mean, but they just put him there for the experience. That's all they did. They put him there for the experience, and that's what you do. That's what you do. But, yeah, he's a hockey player, really smart with all the puck, very smart, hockey sense out the yin-yang, works his little tail off, got a little bit of edge to him, got a little bit of grit that's going to allow him to stay at that level. I hope he gets a chance to stick.
Hope he gets a chance to have some shifts with guys like Kane and Taves. What a thrill.
Oh, thrill.
What a thrill.
I mean, and obviously I'm 46 years old. I'm well past all this stuff, right? But this is the stuff that I never thought about when I was, you know, playing in the Ontario Hockey League and thinking about, you know, was I ever going to get a chance to play in the National Hockey League? Okay. These guys today, I just think about this. I love this. These guys today can sit in their dorm. Remember, he's a Michigan boy. He's in his dorm room last year. He probably had 5, 6, 7, or 8 of his buddies, they all had like me and DJ do, they had PlayStation or Xbox games and tournaments where he's playing with his favorite NHL team, his favorite NHL players, whatever, and he is sitting there going, "Oh man, this is good. I just beat you with this." Let's say he has Chicago. Dude, he just walked in a room in a training camp. He's got Patrick Kane now looking at him going, whatever his nickname is, Matsi, whatever, Mats Clamato. I mean, who knows what they call him? Or what do they call him? I mean, what is his nickname? He's got to have one of the greatest nicknames ever, right?
I'm sure.
Mats Clamato, or they call him Clam Juice? What are they calling him? Who knows what they're calling him? So he's got Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews going, hey, Clam Bake. Hey, Clam Juice. Hey, Matsi. Whatever they're calling him, right? What a thrill it is for him. He's cracked an NHL. What a thrill it is for him. So I couldn't be happier. He comes from a great family. Comes from an unbelievable pedigree of athletes. And it just says something really, really good about where he's been and where he comes from. For him to mentally, not only physically, but mentally be able to be where he's at. Obviously, Michigan did a great job with him, and he's had this coming. This has been on his radar for the last 3 or 4 years. This has been a realistic goal of his, and for him to crack it, let's be realistic. If he gets drafted by the Wings, he's not playing this year. Fair?
Oh, he's absolutely not.
Not because that's not who they are.
He's. I don't care if he scores 10 goals in the preseason. Are. He's one of the first guys shipped to Grand Rapids.
Right, because he needs to mature.
And
right?
he can have 30 goals at the halfway point down in Grand Rapids. Yeah. And he's not going to be the first guy called up.
Yeah, and watch what he does if given the opportunity with Chicago. Watch how much of an impact he makes. Every year, the Panarins, the Teravan, all these guys produce because they're put in a position to produce. And that's going to be the difference. So I'm so excited for him. I can't wait to watch him play hockey. I can only imagine what's going through his mind right now. I can only imagine.
You know what? I bet, obviously, you're going to be nervous.
Nervous.
Excited. Once you get it going, he'll be
trust me
fine.
When I tell you this, there isn't not one bit of nerves goes on. You are so excited. The only thing is the best way I can describe it to you is your anticipation is if you want to call that your anticipation is you walk in the locker room, your jersey's hanging up there, you see that and you're like, oh my God, you know, and then the boys start coming and then the coaches start seeing the coaches around. Now you grab the stats page. Now the TV guys want to talk to you. Now you go and you take a look at the rink. The rink's empty. You take a look at the rink, you tape your stick on the bench. Now you hear all the people filing in for all the concession stands people, all the workers. They're having a meeting up there, and now they're testing the mic. Now they're testing the, you know, test. I mean, it's you have so much time for it to build for you that the nerves don't even happen. When you're standing out there and the anthem goes on and that many people and you're standing there and you're looking around, that's when it starts to hit you. Now that's your first time where you're like, okay, here we go. And then the puck drops and it's game on. Yeah. It's something you've done forever.
Think about everything he's already done.
Nothing.
At his young age, though.
Yep,
But I mean, he's been being prepared for this.
This
anyways.
Is nothing for him. You know, excitement.
Here's a jersey that says United States of America on it. Yep. And I'm over in Russia playing for my country as an under 18.
I got news for you before you go any further. I am all about that. If I saw a Canadian jersey and my name was on it, I'd be like, oh my God, whatever. But for me to walk in and see the Chicago Blackhawks, one of the most iconic jerseys in all of sport, for me to have my name on the back of that jersey hanging up in a locker room with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Crawford,
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, boy.
Got to take a break here. We'll be right back with Bob McKillop.
The Dennis Stucky Show is on. Information 1380 WPHM.
On Friday night, it's our high school football game of the week. I'll be at East China Stadium. Marysville's taking on St. Clair. The Saints need to win the game to keep their playoff hopes alive. They've got to win out to get in. Marysville needs the win to clinch the MAC Gold Championship outright, stay undefeated, and now they're playing for home field advantage come playoff time. It's all brought to you by the Linwood, Blue Water Area Transit, Subway of Marysville, Lens Pool and Spa, and your local McDonald's, who, oh, by the way, serve breakfast all day. I got a couple of coupons here from our local area McDonald's for the all-day breakfast. You can pick any breakfast item off the menu. I'll give you two because nobody can have just one. sausage McMuffin with egg.
Dude, I used to be a what Matthew Schultz and the Schultz family used to call a shoe, a super heavy user. back in the day when the metabolism was running before, you know, before I had, is my daughter's calling me. Before
she wants to win some McDonald's.
I guess. Dan, well, she's not listening. We know that for sure. We know that for sure.
All right. Here it is. 966-1380 is the number for some McDonald's breakfast items. I want you to tell me who had the most 30-goal seasons in Port Huron pro hockey history. Okay, so it includes the Flags, the Wings, the Border Cats, the Beacons, the Ice Hawks, the Prowlers. What one player has had more 30-goal seasons for Port Huron teams than any other player? 966-1380. Let the guesses begin. You had a few 30-goal seasons, didn't you, McCullum?
Here?
Yeah.
I had a couple.
Hi, who's this?
Mark.
All right, Mark. Who do you think it is?
The guy sitting next to you?
The guy sitting next to me had three 30-goal seasons in Port Huron in succession. He had 45, 35, and 34, but that is not the most.
Oh, you're exploiting them, man. Don't do that to him on the air.
He's okay.
That is not the most. It's actually tied on a long list for second place. So if your niece could have held out for just one more year, Killer, you could have been at the top of the list.
Boy, I'll tell you what. It's amazing as I'm 46 years old now, need both my knees replaced badly. Sorry, that's my daughter again. And I'm actually going to be having a hip replacement. I'm going to retire from golf. Won't be able to play that game anymore, but it's bad. But yeah, my knees, my last surgery I had was the one that ended it for me. I had a bilateral release done in 99. I had both my knees done, and that was it. No more. Uncle.
All right, let's see. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Mike.
All right, Mike, who do you think it is?
Could it be Bill LaCane?
Bill LaCane is tied on the list with Bobby McKillop. He had three 30-goal seasons, and that's the second most.
Okay, I'll try again.
All right. So we've had Bobby McKillop guest, and he had three. Billy LaCane had three. He had a 30-goal, a 42, and a 41-goal season as a member of the Flags. And he had a few other years where he got close. I think he had one or two years where he got to 29, but he didn't ever get that 30. So who's the one guy who had more than three 30-goal seasons in the history of Port Huron?
Come on, people. We're having some breakfast here.
966-1380. McDonald's is offering up any breakfast item all day for free. And I've got two certificates there for you. So, you know, you get your cup of Joe, you get your favorite breakfast sandwich. Or whatever. Maybe you like the flapjacks.
What year did we come here? 96?
96 is when the Border Cats came here. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Big Stacks. How you doing?
All right.
Well, here we go.
Donnie's going to take a guess.
We go. Donnie.
Here we go, Killer.
Hey, I can't believe. I didn't think you were listening. We went through hour of Red Wing talk, and the phone didn't ring.
I know. I didn't want to get into it with you. Yeah. Be a nice guy. How about Lenny Fontaine?
Lenny Fontaine had three, Donnie. He's tied for second on the list.
I knew it had. I'm thinking of a couple other names, but I'll call back, I think.
All right. Yeah, Lenny Fontaine had seasons, get this, Killer, 41, 53, and 42.
That's three good years.
Yeah, he could snipe Lenny Fontaine. Hi, who's this?
Jack.
All right, Jack, what do you think?
Lloyd Maxfield.
Lloyd Maxfield had three. He is also tied for second on the list. He had 50, 49, and 46 3 years in a row. But he never had more than that in Port Huron. So Lloyd is not the answer, but that's a good guess, Jack.
Thank you.
All right. 966-1380. So they've guessed Maxfield. They've guessed LaCane. They've guessed Fontaine. They've guessed McKillop. And those are all excellent guesses. But none of them are the answer that we're looking for. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Vicky.
All right, Vicky, who do you think it is?
How about Larry Gould?
How about Larry Gould, Vicky? He had 35 goals, 36 goals, 30 goals, and 30 goals. He did it four times, and that is the answer.
All right.
Vicky, what's your last name?
Samuelson.
And, Vicky, you know where the radio station is.
I do, and I guess I know more than Donnie does.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Vicky. Are the Wings going to make the playoffs, Vicky?
I don't know. I hope so.
But we're not asking hope. Do you think they're going to make the playoffs?
Okay, yes.
Oh, then no, you don't know more than Donnie. You do not know more than Donnie.
But I know.
We'll see.
I know you've got some McDonald's coming to you, so you can swing by the station anytime during regular business hours, Vicky, and pick up these certificates, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
All right, yeah. Larry Gould is the answer. I think a lot of people forget what a offensive player Gouldy was. Because they're, you know, the big names. Other guys that did it three times, Frank Saint-Marseille,
yep,
who went on to the NHL. Dave Faulkner did it three times. Serge Menard did it three times. And David Alexander Beauregard did it three times.
Yep.
But the only guy to have four was Larry Gould.
Yep. And people have to, you know, I came here from Port Huron. I mean, from Detroit, from San Diego, but had, you know, 40, 40, 35, 42, 40. I mean, had six in a row, so like nine. But yeah, not here.
Not here.
And the thing about it is Bo probably had 12.
Oh, I was looking at Bo's numbers. They're just absolutely
disgusting. He probably had 12 30-year goals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here.
But he only played 3 years in Port Huron, but each time. He had 33, 50, and 47.
He was a pure sniper, that boy.
And the year he scored 47,
with one eye.
That was with the Beacons, and that was with one eye and one leg that year.
Unbelievable.
He played the second half of the season with a fractured leg.
Unbelievable.
Scored 47 goals.
Of all the guys I play with a ton of good hockey players. I love David Alexander Beauregard. He played with one eye. He had to wear a bubble, one of those full cages because of it. Guys never gave him a hard time about it. But he was an absolute, loved to play hockey, loved to compete. He was a 200-foot player, playing the offensive, defensive side of the puck, and loved to play the game. I loved David Alexander Beauregard. Loved him.
And the other thing about, I don't know if you ever saw the tape of the injury.
No, I wouldn't look at it.
But he beat the defenseman on the outside, cut to the net. He got clipped like near the top of the circle. He finishes the play. He has lost his eye, and he finishes the play and scores.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at it. I heard that story, but I just wouldn't look at it.
Hi, who's this? Nope, somebody was there.
Thought it was going to be Donnie coming after me.
That's all right.
Thought it was going to be Donnie coming after me.
We got to take our final break, and then we'll come back, and we'll wrap up the show. But Vicky is the winner.
Way to go,
this
Vicky.
Time around, and I'll have more good stuff to give
Vicky.
Away. In fact, we may do McDonald's stuff every day this week, because I got quite a bit of it. So. Well, and I can't eat it all.
10 years ago, who am I kidding? 5 years ago, stuck? I'd be making a deal on my way out the door.
We'll be right back. Highlights from yesterday's ball games. Of course, you couldn't see the Washington Dodger game unless you had MLB Network. Scammers. The Cleveland game was kind of on in the middle of the afternoon. It was one of those things. Oh, geez, that game's on. And then, of course, the hit by panic happened at about 2 o'clock in the morning our time. So I know a lot of people were probably asleep by then. But two games today. One of them is going to start here in a few minutes. Dodgers and Washington, game four. If Washington wins, it's over. If the Dodgers win, they got to fly all the way back across the country and play game five in Washington. And the Cubbies will try again tonight at 8:30 this time around to knock out the Giants. If not, they'll have to go back to Chicago for game five later in the week as well. Coming up at 5, by the way, because it's a Tuesday, right? Yeah, it's Tuesday today.
I don't know what day it is, Dennis. I have no idea.
Inside Michigan football with Jim Brandstetter and Jim Harbaugh coming up here in just a few minutes. The sun, this time of the day, in the afternoon, the sun shines in, and this is like when I have to actually pay attention to the clock to know where we're at. But okay, so we've got about 4 minutes, Killer.
Well, then I can just talk the whole time. Then.
Hadn't seen you in a long time.
Been a long time.
Glad that you could make it back and see all this talking. Your voice has gotten stronger as the show has gone on.
I think that's probably it because I basically just talk to myself all day. So there's no talking. There's no talking going on. No, I let you know I love coming in here. I miss coming in here. This is something that I love to do, and obviously it's that time of year. Sports is just so hot in the area right now. Michigan's having a great football year. Michigan State's not. sorry, but
you've played one tough team.
Well, I'm a Walmart Michigan guy. I'm from Toronto. I get it, but I mean I love it. But you know, and the Wings are getting started, and obviously my Jays are about to go up against a really tough Cleveland team, and the toughest thing to do in sports is try and close out like Washington and the Cubbies are trying to do tonight. So it's just a great time to be around, and you know me, Stuck. I love coming in here, and you and I could chit-chat. You and I could have a 12-hour show at least 5 days a week, and it would be nothing but entertaining. So thank you for having me in. Thanks for the little text, and I look forward to doing it down the road. But you change. Obviously, the high school hockey schedule isn't going to allow me to come in here once. I mean, we start in November, so once that starts, I'm on the ice every single day at 4:30, and just not going to happen. So
yeah, I know. You're using that as an excuse.
Excuse.
You could have the assistant run the practice.
Yeah, every once in a while.
You could have your captains.
Every once in a while.
Put the responsibility on those good Gross Point South kids to run their own practice.
Very true. Very true. Very true. If we wanted to finish in 14th place, yes. But I know
that everybody gets in.
Yeah, everybody plays.
You have to peak in March.
There are some days. I mean, there's game days, right? Game days I could come in here. I'll get you a schedule where, you know, but I'm coaching a couple other teams too. I'm working with Blummer's group, the Mount Clemens Wolves up in Mount Clemens. So I took a couple of those teams too. So it's tough. My plate is full. My plate is really full. And then obviously my poor hips give me. I just talked to my surgeon this morning. I think I'm going to have to do this sooner or later. I was going to try and hold off. I don't think I can do it. I'm having trouble walking. It's bad. But no, I love coming in here. So I'm going to try and make it work. I'd love to get in here. And then obviously I'd love to take you down to the Joe's so you and I can kind of go to experience that and, you know, and all that stuff. But no, I miss being in here. This is a comfortable chair. I feel good in this chair.
Yeah, these are new ones. You didn't even notice that we had new chairs.
Oh, trust me. I noticed as soon as I sat down.
Yeah, I got those when Blummer came in.
Oh, did you? Blummer was actually in here?
Blummer was in before the World Series.
No way.
The Wiffle Ball World Series. Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Did a whole show on it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You can understand him?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's getting better.
He's talking to the World Series.
You'll have to look up the podcast.
I am. I'm going to look it up because I just know.
I think it's still
in there. There's no way I stood him. There's no way. Yeah, we got this World Series over my house.
And all the chances I give him to take his shots, he's always first class. He's not going to take a shot at anybody.
Yeah, well, trust me. Yes, yes.
He didn't on the air.
Really?
Well, I give him his opportunities.
Blummer's great.
What do you think of that McKillop?
Oh, yeah, right.
He could have been all
No,
over you.
Blummer's awesome. Jeff Love's one of my good buddies. I love Blummer, but everybody knows. What are you talking? Come on. Everybody knows. That's Blummer. We love Blummer. Hey, quick shout out. Obviously, we're giving shout outs. Randy didn't hear. We did the whole thing on Mott for 25 minutes. How about his daughter, Madeline Blum? How about her?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
What a golfer.
Huh? Freshman? Golfer. Huh? Now, if she can only putt, we work on that all the time with her. Great. She loves the game. I'm really happy for Blummer. She loves the game. I'm happy for Madeline. She loves the game. Loves the game.
All right, we got to say goodbye, unfortunately, but I'll be back tomorrow. I don't know where Killer's calling.